fallen for another.
Who is he?
Oh, don't worry about it. It's someone you've never heard of.
Give it some time, give it some time, give it, take it or leave it.
Unlucky Kane, I've been there too. I once got a tattoo for a woman's affection. I don't even like butterflies.
Oh, yeah, that was quite an embarrassing moment in my life. I mean, I didn't know the word for it, but when someone told me it was a tramp stamp, I just, if I wasn't so scared of lasers, I'd get it removed. But, what I did was I just added a bit more around it, and now I've got a bit of a whole sort of garden on me back. It doesn't quite look as bad. But anyway, let's move on. Let's go on to the next piece. And tonight, my next piece is something political because, we always mess around here, but sometimes I like to say something that I actually mean.
Next up tonight is the Rap Sesh with Karen Morley, where she interviews self-proclaimed feminist rapper Lil P. Enjoy.
Good evening, and welcome to the Rap Sesh. I'm Karen Morley, and today I'm joined by multi-platinum album-selling rapper, Lil P.
What up? You're looking professional today, Karen.
Thank you, Lil P. Of course, that comment was right in line with your brand new outlook on life.
100% it is. I used to be this typical misogynistic, homophobic, gangster rapper, but I have been reborn.
In what sense?
Well, since my last album, Shake It and I'll Spank It, I met this shorty who showed me the error of my ways. She was like all up in my grill about my views on women, and damn, she was right. My lyrics have supported this idea of women as second-class citizens, like they were below men. I've been acting like such a little bitch. Sorry. There are just so many insults that mean being a woman. Isn't that crazy?
No, we had noticed.
Well, that's all in the past for me now. My new album reflects a more enlightened perspective.
Eloquently put.
Thank you. I'm completely changed. I go down on girls without them even asking now.
That is sadly more impressive than it should be. So what new themes have you reflected in your latest EP?
Well, one of my tracks called Liberating Labias is all about how, like, women have all this stigma surrounding how they like to get down. Like, if she wants to get down, let her get down. But it goes both ways. Maybe my bro doesn't want to get down. He should be allowed not to get down. Sometimes a homie just wants to cuddle.
Yes, you cover that concern more than fully in the track. Homies don't have to be hoes.
For sure. Ironically, that is a great track to bang to. Another thing my shorty let me in on is that ladies don't always like being stared at in public just because they're showing some skin. That idea really inspired my track, Can't Stare, Gotta Strafe.
Oh, yes. I particularly enjoyed the lyric, If she sees your eyes, don't let them be on her thighs.
That is gangster gold for sure. For sure. Another thing I learned was how, like, ladies can do all the stuff that dudes can do, like science, politics, rolling blunts. I talked about it in the track Booty and Brains. They got mad skills, some of them. Of course, some of them can't do shit. But for every one of them, I got a bro who can barely spell his name.
I noticed you also touched upon the issue of disproportional pay.
Huh?
Your song about women getting underpaid for the same job as a man.
All right! You're talking about Where's My Lady's Cheddar? Yes, that track I'm very proud of. Plus, it got the music I sampled super cheap because some lady wrote it. Crap, I gotta fix that.
So do you think other rappers will follow suit? Is this the evolution of rap?
Nah. For one, there is already some rappers doing as I do. It's just none of you actually buy their records. You're too busy listening to this bullshit. Fembashing mainstream chum. And secondly, my ideas won't stick with people. Don't be naive. It's the same when you rap about being a G. People like to pretend that they are that gangster for half an hour while they bob their head and spit the rhymes. Then they go back to their actual reality and working in a food court and forget all about it.
Well, hopefully you can be the exception. Thank you for joining me today, Lil P. And you can pick up his new album, I Just Want to Bang Empowered Women, online and at all good retailers. This was the Rap Sesh.
Thank you, Little P and Karen. I can't wait to get that classic in my collection. That interview was brought to you in part by The Police. Join us now, because soon we'll have to wear cameras and it won't be as fun.
Too right. There was a couple there the last night if you were down on Commercial Drive and they had their cameras out just to make sure that if anything kicked off, they knew it was us that caused it. But it was a good little sesh, actually, last night down at Commercial Drive if you were there for the May Day rally. Lots of open drinking and the police, they weren't too rude about it. They were pretty cool, so fair dues to them. That was quite a good laugh, but I do take offence to them suggesting it was an unauthorised party. When the hell did we suddenly need permission to have a bloody party? But anyway, moving on. Next up tonight is something a bit more recent and something equally fun.
First up tonight is an excerpt from Canadian reality show Hungry for Work.
Hi, you must be Gary. I'm Pauline. Welcome to Corporate Sandwiches. Please take a seat.
Oh, thanks for seeing me.
Oh, no problem. So you're applying for the position of sandwich artist, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Failing that, sandwich apprentice.
Excellent. Now, I see here, though, you don't have much previous experience in the food service industry.
No, most of my previous experiences mainly involved landscaping, but I give it up. I mean, I'm too old for the graveyard shifts.
Oh, was it nighttime landscaping?
No, landscaping graveyards.
I see. And why do you want to become a sandwich artist?
Well, you see, I just always wanted... How do you make a sandwich? I've always wanted to know, but I never thought to ask.
Did your mother make them for you as a child?
Yeah, but I never asked her for the recipe.
Well, we do provide extensive training.
I'm glad to hear, because I wouldn't have a clue where to start. I mean, do all your stores carry all the different colored fleshy things?
You mean meats?
That's it. Sorry. Meats. Oh, of course. Don't worry. I promise I'll pick up all the technical jargon as quickly as I can.
Now, did you graduate high school, Gary?
Well, graduate's a strong word. I definitely lift.
Okay, all right. And what unique skills would you bring to our team?
I'm real good at, like, judging people's personalities by their appearance, you know, better serve them.
Oh, so you're good at being prejudiced.
Yeah, that's the word. It's a skill that's very useful in the service industry, I hear.
I see. And what interests or hobbies do you have outside of work?
Have you ever heard of, furries?
No, sir, I have not.
It's why I'm wearing a suit with a tail.
Ah, I see. I thought perhaps it was a medical condition.
No, the eye patch and angry blotchy skin on my face are medical conditions. The facial tattoo is, of course, a matter of taste. But people say it suits me. I just hope people realize that the swastika is meant to be ironic.
Right. And, did you have any questions for me?
How often can I use the washroom?
Oh, well, as often as you need.
Oh, great, because I do like to spend a lot of time in there. So, when do I start?
Well, we do have a lot of candidates to see.
Oh, of course.
But I can assure you... Well, gosh darn it, you're just the best candidate I've seen today.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, thank you very much. I'll wait your call. Make sure you call, though, between 4 and 6 p.m., because that's when I'll be near the phone at the methadone clinic.
Oh, no problem there, sugar. I'll probably see you there anyway.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Canada, for that illuminating piece. And that was brought to you in part by golf, a sport for people who don't like sport.
Thank you very much, Richard there. Of course, I'm still Richard, but I like talking to myself in the third person. It just makes me feel like I've got a friend. Anyway, moving on, we're going to do a bit more, something a bit medical. I've always had a bit of an affiliation with medicine ever since I was a kid and I started obsessing with the human body. I mean, it's bloody fascinating to me. I mean, the things it can do. But anyway, moving on, here we have a bit of bloodletting.
That piece was brought to you by Ollie's Ostentatious Orgies. It's fancy fucking. Next up tonight is a period piece. It's set in the early 20th century, and it's about the life of doctors.
Hey, David, how's it going?
Michael, good to see you. I haven't seen you since the 1902 conference in Geneva.
That's right, before you got struck off.
How did you know about the sucking off?
I said struck off.
Ah, so are you enjoying this poor excuse for a medical conference.
Oh, definitely. Did you see my speech on bloodletting?
Oh, yes. Amazing stuff. I only wish we could save more people with it.
I know. I had 3 patients with colds come in last week, and 2 of them, soon as I drained 4 pints of blood, dead. If only I'd done it sooner, I might have saved them.
I know. But there is some other great stuff coming down the pipeline. Have you heard about lobotomy?
No.
It's where they gently tap the patient's brain until the patient is completely stupid.
Oh, marvellous! I hate the clever ones, always questioning me. I mean, which one of us went to medical school?
We both did.
That's not what I meant.
Then why did you say it?
Never mind. Did you see the lecture on insulin-induced comas to treat addiction?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It was brilliant. What a show. They injected this patient with insulin. He goes completely mental. They're holding him down. Eventually, he finally stops freaking out, and he's in a coma.
And it stopped his addiction?
Then, oh, he's in a coma. But apparently, all of the psychiatrists are going nuts for it.
Well, then, it must be good. When have the majority of people been wrong? Oh, you must have seen that chemotherapy lecture yesterday too, then.
No.
Oh, well, then you were lucky. What a waste of 2 hours of my life.
Yeah?
Some idiot was proposing that we inject people with poison to kill cancers.
Poison?
Yes, it's literally derived from mustard gas.
Won't that have nasty side effects?
Yes, that.
That?
Whatever side effects you're thinking of right now. It will cause that.
Oh.
It literally causes everything.
Jesus. Does it at least work?
Sometimes. If it's a fairly straightforward case. No curveballs, you have a chance.
Dear God. Well, forget that. I'll just stick to good old bloodletting.
Good idea. Stick with what you know. Stick with what you know.
Ah, how we change. Now we give our lobotomies in pill form. Much more civilized. All right, thank you very much there. That was lovely, lovely stuff there from the medical conferences. And it just shows you that the medicine is an ignorant game from the start, and we're getting better. But don't think we're there yet, lads. We are far from there. But anyway, coming up next is something from one of my favourite correspondents we've had the joy of being with so far, the lovely Terence Tripoli. And, you know, he's a little bit of a lad who maybe doesn't quite have the social skills of someone like you or me, you know, but he tries, he really tries. Next up tonight is a diary entry from the unpublished works of Terence Tripoli, titled The Hopeless Romantic. Dear Diary, I wish you could talk back to me. Firstly, because this would make this seem less pointless. And secondly, so you could explain where the hell my date went so wrong today. I thought I executed everything perfectly. First, I awoke, did my Pilates, followed up by my chin-up. Hope to reach 2 very soon. I ate a breakfast of eggs, bacon, sausage, pancakes, English muffin, toaster, kippers, croissant, fried tomatoes, mushrooms, black pudding, yogurt, protein bar, smoothie, and a diet Red Bull. Then I had a rather large but efficient bowel movement, which made me a little late for work at the fishmonger's. Luckily for me, my boss is just glad if anyone shows up for work at all. Personally, though, nothing gets me quite in the mood for a nice little date than gutting 4,000 fish. I guess all the violence makes me crave the soft innocence of the opposite sex and their lovely lady bits. I was a bit worried about the smell, because it does get stuck in your hair and your skin, but I always have a plan. I simply shaved all my hair from my head, body, face, and not forgetting the eyebrows, of course. On the way home from work, I picked up some new clothes. I got a great pair of flare jeans, like they wear in that 70s show. They totally suit me. I also got to go with a hilarious t-shirt that says 0 to horny in 2.5 pints. I knew any woman would find that hysterical. I also couldn't resist picking up a new hat. I was torn between a fedora and a trilby. I just couldn't pick one, so I got both of them. I thought it would be funny if I wore one of them on top of the other, like some eccentric genius. I knew that's what conclusion girls would jump to. New threads in hand, I made my way home and began preparing the feast I had picked out for this perfect first date. For starters, I made caviar in a garlic sauce. Main course was a seafood medley in a garlic sauce. And for dessert, a cheesecake with garlic sauce.
Oh, we got to do what we can to support Father's garlic business. Unfortunately, I ran out of table salt, so I used the salt I bought to de-ice the driveway. It did add a bit of a gritty texture. I set the mood in my apartment beautifully with the lyrical accompaniment of my favourite Slipknot album, Antennas to Hell. I can't stand all that typical romantic music. That tempo is useless. I mean, how am I meant to make love to a woman at that snail pace? And I lit some incense sticks. You know, one didn't seem enough to hide the smell of the cat litter tray. So I lit 8 in total, and I spread them around about the apartment. It worked as long as I kept the windows shut. I brushed up the floor, but I couldn't find the dustpan, so I just left it all in a pile in the corner. I mean, I made sure the pile was nice and neat, of course. I put all my empty liquor bottles on my mantelpiece like trophies. I hung up my newly acquired art, a full-length Victoria's Secret model poster with a little bit of nipple. Then I had a shower. I only had my head lice shampoo to use, but as I was now completely bald, that didn't matter. I put on my best Axe body spray, my new flares, the hilarious t-shirt, Grandad's brute cologne he gave me, polished my head, put on both of my hats, and I waited for her to arrive. I got a bit bored waiting, so when she arrived, I was halfway through cutting my toenails, though she was very nice about it and waited quite politely while I finished. I offered her some drink options, but she wasn't fussed to either Mountain Dew or Diet Root beer, so she simply sipped on her water while we chatted. I discussed all the important things, how much I was worth, all the terrible ex-relationships I've had, all the people who have wronged me. Eventually, I decided I should ask her something too, so she wouldn't realise how conceited I am. She droned on for half an hour about her job treating people for cancer. As if that's interesting to people who don't already have cancer. You know, it's sort of an inside thing. I nodded appropriately and tried my best to steer the conversation back to me, but she was determined to talk, so I tried not to look too bored. You know, after a bit she finally ran out of steam, and I had a chance to entertain her with my fascinating anecdotes of things that have happened at the fishmongers. Yeah, I mean, you do have to kind of be there to get the jokes, but I still told them. I mean, it filled a lot of time. After dinner, I showed her my celebrity underwear collection. I'm quite proud, and she took quite a shine to Bill Clinton's briefs. I mean, everyone just assumes he's a boxer short guy, and I mean, I could have gotten them clean. I mean, they are quite dirty, but you know, it's funny, some buyers that actually increases the value for them. We then played a game of Never Have I Ever, where we learnt she'd lived a rather sheltered life, and I, in comparison, am a dirty slut. We both, I think, found this rather amusing. Finally, to seal the deal, I played her a few songs on my DJ decks. My mixing is getting unbelievable. Combine that with a few fist bumps and a tight head bobbing, you know. How could any woman say no? I mean, she watched me spin the decks for like an hour. So, as you can clearly see, I basically played the perfect hand in this game of romance. I didn't put a step wrong. And yet, after all that, I only got to second base. I mean, what the hell?
Thank you, Terence, for that vivid account of a date we've all had. I have noticed women are not huge fans of hilarious t-shirts. They much prefer hilarious ties.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, my favourite tie to wear is one with a rather voluptuous woman on. I think it really just puts the woman at ease when she knows that I like the bigger girls. But anyway, moving on now, we're going to have a little bit of historical drama. This is Milk Marketing.
Next up tonight is a historical piece of theatre set at the beginning of human civil society on Earth.
Hey, Nadine, darling, come here.
What is it, Harry? I'm very busy.
Put down your tools. I have something to show you.
Oh, not another one of your schemes.
Not quite.
Your last one, the self-digging poop hole, cost us thousands to develop, and what did we end up with?
The prototype worked.
It was a slave with a shovel.
What about my instant fire machine?
The machine was made of wood! It caught fire every time you used it!
Okay, fine. I started too complicated, but this time I have found a simple, marketable consumer product we can become millionaires off.
Go on.
Cow's milk.
I'm sorry, what?
The milk of a cow.
And what would we do with it?
Drink it.
What?
It's really good tasting, I swear. It's so delicious, and we can get it really easily. You just squeeze a cow's nipples, and it comes out.
Hang on. How do you know all of this? When were you squeezing a cow's nipple?
Before lunch.
And why did you taste it? Am I missing something here?
I was trying to find a solution to our money worries.
And your instinct to solving our money problems was sucking on a cow's tit.
Well, it paid off. Come on, try a bit of this sample I brought home.
No!
Look, it's delicious. See?
Oh, my God, I think I'm going to be sick. I can't believe you just drank that.
Why is it so weird? I tried yours when you were breastfeeding the kids.
Yes, but that came from our kind. You don't just exchange other bodily fluids with animals, do you?
Well, not often.
Harry, hear what you're saying. You can't sell animal fluids to people.
Why not?
Because...
Exactly. Oh. It's only weird because you've decided it's weird. We eat them. What's the difference if you drink them? Does chewing make it okay?
Okay, we can do this on one condition.
Okay.
I get to do the milking.
Oh, but that's the best bit.
Oh, Harry, thank goodness someone had the sense to try it. We owe you so much. Ice cream, yogurt, coffee that doesn't taste like arse. Thank you very much, lads. Yeah, it was another lovely piece there. And we've got time for just a couple more. This one's actually from a very recent episode. The quality's a bit rubbish because we were having a nightmare that week, but I hope you'll appreciate the value of it in any way. Next up tonight is a third piece about school. For some, it was the best days of their lives because they suck at being adults.
Hello, Mr. Neville. Thank you for coming in. Please, take a seat.
Okay, which one is it? I bet it's Jenny. She's always in trouble. Has she been fighting again?
No, nothing like that.
She kicked the shit out of that last teacher.
No, yeah, I know. That was hilarious. But no, it's about your youngest, Harry.
Harry? But he's a good one. All the teachers love him.
Well, you see, that's it. One of his teachers, Mr. Collins, has informed me that Harry is dressing too sexy.
Pardon?
Harry is, how can I put this? Whoa.
What are you saying?
I'm saying Mr. Collins is finding it very difficult to teach with that gorgeous son of yours just flaunting his perfect pecs in front of him. I mean, Harry needs to cover up.
Shouldn't Mr. Collins be the one controlling himself?
It's not just Mr. Collins, it's the janitor, it's the PE teacher, it's the women in his class. They're all gagging for it.
Well, I really think that is their problem, not his.
I really wish it was, Mr. Neville, but you have to understand, Mr. Collins and these girls are just unable to control themselves. They are giving in to their impulses. Haven't you ever been turned on by a sexy young boy?
No, but if I was, I would keep it to myself. What is Mr. Collins' first name? I'd like a word with him.
I'm sorry, but I really can't divulge that information.
Why not?
Because I don't really know what his name is. I think it might be Errol. Oh, that can't be right.
Look, this is ridiculous. My son should not be made to feel ashamed of himself because your staff are a bunch of pervs.
They are not pervs. The inquiry proved that beyond doubt, Mr. Neville. Now, if you would just have Harry put on a nice sweater and some jeans to cover up those lovely muscular glutes, everything will be fine.
No, Harry is free to express himself as he sees fit. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must get back to work. Those assless chaps won't sell themselves.
Alright, and there we go. That was our last one tonight from the Best Of. I hope you enjoyed that. That was a very special version of tonight's show. We will, of course, be coming right back with the after show. If you do have any questions for our guests tonight, Alex Baron and Simon T. Armstrong Esquire, send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com or tweet us at whitenoiseubc, whatever the hell you like. But coming up right now, it's something a bit harder than you're used to with this show because Simon's not here tonight, and his music taste is not my bloody taste.
announce the web of security tightens as we await the arrival of Ralph Records recording artists, The Residents.
Doxa, Vancouver's documentary film festival, runs this year April 30th to May 10th. Doxa and CITR 101.9 FM present Theory of Obscurity, a film about The Residents. This Monday, May 4th at the Cinematheque, followed by a Q&A with the filmmaker Don Hardy. Filmmaker Don Hardy, along with noted Residents bands such as Penn Jillette, Simpsons creator Matt Groening, and Jerry Casale of Devo, dive deep into the archives. Monday, May 4th at 8:50. The screening is brought to you by CITR.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the White Noise After Show. My name is Richard Blackmore, and tonight we're joined by Alex Baron, Simon T. Armstrong, Esquire of Vancouver, right? Is that how you guys say it? You know, it's got a question mark on there, so I want to make sure I get the...
Vancouver, yes. Right, I guess. Right? Just yeah. Vancouver, right.
Yeah, it's kind of weird if you phrase it as a question, because then... Well, it's kind of like
it
needs
it does have a question mark on the end, so I apologize for reading your punctuation.
But. He has a point.
Apology accepted. I forgive you.
So, let's get into it. I mean, you guys host this podcast, fairly recent edition. So what was it all about? Why did you guys get into this?
Well, we kind of started it to address the claims that Alex was a pedophile, and I just wanted to say none of those are true. He didn't touch those kids. I don't care how many witnesses there are. I got your back, Alex.
It's amazing how many shows started the exact same way. I'm always blown away when I hear that one.
Yeah, Simon was actually one of the kids that I touched, and now we just talk.
Well, it's funny. I'm a head of a child, but I am a grown man.
So that's why he's not here today. Yeah. I thought he said something about you. I can't remember now. But
okay.
All right, so what actually I fancy doing before we get too far into it is we're going to play a bit of their show and just, see what these guys are all about. Yeah, yeah, they're just bigging up their own stuff here. It's very humble.
I don't think that I've ever gone grocery shopping and not forgotten something. I always forget one thing on the list.
Do you have like a go-to that you like always forget? I do. It's baking soda.
Tea. I always forget tea.
Oh, and that sucks because you love tea.
I drink it all the time, yeah.
How often are you buying baking soda?
I'm glad you didn't let that slip through the cracks.
Yeah, that's true.
Something doesn't add up here.
Or have you just been trying to buy baking soda for the past 2 years and just keep forgetting?
Is it like, again. I put it in, I have dry skin and don't ask questions that you don't want answers
to. No, keep going.
I put it in my bath with, I put quite a lot in, and I put coconut oil in, and it's like...
Guy has a bath.
Dick.
With coconut oil.
I read in my baths, too.
Cute.
Yeah.
It's one of the most Vancouver things I've ever heard.
Well, I'm putting coconut oil and baking soda in, and hot water. I'm like one step away from baking myself into like a cupcake or something. I have most of the ingredients.
And that's good for your skin, eh?
It feels amazing. I read Game of Thrones in the coconut... soda bath. It makes me feel brave to read those books. Because I'm always like...
While I'm bathing in coconut oil.
Everything's so so tough here. Oh my god. You can't even go down a road without getting raped or pillaged. And
you get your loofah out while you're... yeah. Oh.
Sure, I'll venture down this road or onto the high seas with this... Maybe I'll take a sea wife.
So we do not sew. Oh,
just picture you in the bath being like, this sounds dreadful. Yeah. Westeros, my goodness.
There's like a religious power cult in the books that their thing is they need to drown you. Your baptism is like they hold you underwater until you're dead, and then like get the water out of you so you come back to life. It's just the most like badass thing.
I wish that you would try that in your coconut bath. You. Yeah.
So there we go. That was Vancouver, right? Lovely time in there, lads.
That silence at the end was for emphasis.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted you just to savor it a bit before we got back into it.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously that was really big stuff you guys were talking about there. So, and is that what the motivation for you guys doing this podcast was, to just, you know, turn over big stones, or what got you into it?
We want to do a comedy podcast, but we actually have bigger ambitions. We want to do investigations. We actually just did a very controversial interview with a Vancouver pickup artist, but we can't release it till next week because we're doing a little talking to the news. We have some meetings to go to. Some pretty heavy stuff came out of the woodwork.
Really? Like...
Police investigation heavy, are we talking, or?
We might be talking to the I hit. I mean, maybe.
Oh.
It could be happening.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, you hit it.
Sorry?
Sorry, I was just so emotional talking about that. But there we go. There might be something quite interesting in the news for once next week, so check it out.
True enough. I think we also just... We just like talking to people and making jokes, basically, and insulting each other and other people.
Yeah,
being insulted.
That's a boring way to put it. I think mine was better. So. But I also really like making fun of Simon.
That's true.
Ever since I met him, haven't liked him. And, I'm just going to make fun of him until he kills himself.
Yeah, it will never happen, though.
So
we'll see about that.
So is that rooted in some deep-rooted insecurity in yourself?
Absolutely.
Or is that...
I would say it's more because he's very selfish. We both volunteer at an art house theater every Friday, and we get a write-off, so we get like a free thing. And I always take the aloe vera. It's really refreshing. It has the little chunks of aloe vera in it. And this one night, I forgot to take it with me. And instead of taking it and giving it to me later, Simon just drank it. You know, oh, this is mine now. And ever since then, I've just... been making fun of how short he is.
At least he's not petty, though. Like Alex
no,
is
clearly,
a...
clearly. That's as good a reason as any. You know?
Shut up. It's petty is when you're obsessive about small things. I take aloe vera.
Yeah, so
very...
you're obsessive about me. You're petty.
Yes.
Oh, preemptive.
Fucker.
Oh. It's
that's
okay.
That's a bleep.
Yeah, except that we don't have a bleep button. Uh-oh. So.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to the sensitive ears out there.
Yeah.
So if you like dead air and saying words you're not supposed to, you should check out our podcast. Everyone's watching the boxing fight right now. Nobody heard that. It's fine.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward later to watching two overpaid men knock the crap out of each other. And actually afterwards, I might go check out the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather fight as well. Actually, I was thinking.
Did you bet on it?
Only that... some overpaid idiot would win. I'm not really bothered by it. I'm more of a UFC fan myself, actually. But, I don't know. Boxing died about 20 years ago when they all decided we're not going to fight anyone interesting anymore. But
why are UFC people not overpaid idiots, but boxers are?
Because they're actually not paid very much, most of them. Most of them earn about 10, 12 grand a fight.
I had no idea.
Yeah, like, the top guys at the top earn 200 grand, 500 grand a fight. But the guys at the bottom are... yeah, basically living on the gym floor still.
What are the guys at the bottom of boxing earning though?
That's a good question. That is a good question.
Yeah, but you don't get hurt as bad for it. You know what I mean? You don't get kneed and
true.
Your arm broken and stuff.
That's true.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, but it does seem like boxing is just I mean, people seem to for some reason accept that, but they don't accept the other one. And really, both of them are smashing yourselves in their head. And we're not going to pretend either of them are good for you.
I'm equally as good at both, so I really don't differentiate. If I'm out on Friday night and somebody's like steps to me, I'll be like, okay, how do you want to get knocked out, UFC style or boxing style?
And that works for you, does it? Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's what he says in his head. In reality, he squeals like a Pomeranian and runs off.
I love Pomeranians.
Who doesn't?
All right. There's a little awkward silence for you. I feel like UFC is just fairly young, though, isn't it? Like, relatively to boxing. And eventually it'll be respected in the same way. Like, boxing's just super old, right? So it's more respected in terms of...
Absolutely, right? Yeah. I mean, I think the younger generations, like any new idea, are always more accepting, and the older ones will just ignore it until they're dead, and then we don't have to worry about what they think. But
yeah. Exactly.
So you're saying in like 50 years, stand-up paddleboarding is going to be an Olympic sport?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Dota 2, basically. That's the Olympics.
Dota 2, yeah.
I think there already are some pretty heavy tournaments for that.
I wonder if Dota 2 players get paid more than UFC fighters.
Absolutely.
The best ones, I bet.
The top video game player, I'd say, gets more than the top.
Wow.
Well, they did a comparison, and they said basically the entire card of the last big UFC event earned approximately 1% of what Mayweather earns tonight.
Well, is that like Dana White's fault that they're not getting paid as much, or
what? Yeah, because it's a billion bloody dollar company.
I only hear good things about Dana White all the time. Is he
because he's the guy doing the talking?
That's true. Actually, he does all his own like media stuff.
Well, he's the promoter. Like he's he's the Don King of the
We really want to get into negative Dana? I mean, I think he has numerous people that could have us killed.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's
so big though. He couldn't give a toss what we think. He might go on Twitter and call us assholes if he ever heard what happened, and cared enough to write I don't even think he'd be that bothered. I literally think he couldn't be asked type it out.
But Alex already established that he's a big, tough guy, so it's okay. If Dana White busted through the door right now, you just knock
I would love to see that fight, actually. I would pay... I'd pay more than $100 to see that fight.
Are these doors locked? I'm really sorry about that swear, guys. I feel...
Yeah, to throw you off?
Just wretched.
Oh. Well, you're not a trained radio man like me and other Simon. So, or Richard, I should say.
That's true.
Oh, I just made a big flub myself.
I love that.
What have I done?
And you know what? You know what makes it even more obvious? When you scream after.
Take your headphones off.
Yeah, I should leave.
Get in the corner.
Oh, I am a fool.
Simon's so small, if he stood in the corner, he'd get lost. He's like a little wood bug.
Oh, boy. One of those. You stink. You are awful.
That was some amazing riffing there.
Ugly.
I could, spit in so, my face. So your second passion is improv, I believe. Is that the case? Or?
Oh, no.
My third after UFC and boxing. I knock fools out, and then as they're on the ground, I just riff and make references.
We have made two horrible mistakes. So,
but this is a really apt representation of our podcast.
Yeah. You're getting a good idea of how big of idiots we are.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean... So you've explained why you do it. So, but
yes,
I mean,
we have.
So do you guys actually do any real planning, or is it just do you guys just go wig it?
Believe it or not, it's consumed our lives. Go ahead.
I was just going to say we do a lot of discussion after each episode. We hammer it into the ground, like we talk about it nonstop. Basically every day we're talking on the phone or in person about what's going to happen next week, what's going to happen next episode. That's pretty.
Dream about it.
And for the quality of episode we put out, you really wouldn't be able to tell, but we do.
we've taken on... We like to roast other podcasts, too. I didn't really want to bring this in because I don't know if that was allowed or whatever, but there's a church in Vancouver that has a podcast called Broadway Church, and we just tear them apart. There's also a float tank podcast called Vancouver Real.
It's like a healthy lifestyle podcast.
Yeah, and... they're dead. Yeah.
Yeah, we cut up some clips of them talking about raw food and just their hard lives, and we just made fun of them basically. And I don't know, like stuff like that is we haven't done that in a little while, but we'll probably do that again at some point.
Yeah, we've been too busy with Jan lifestyle pickup artist extraordinaire.
Yeah, with the pickup artist stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, that sounds riveting stuff there, lads. All right, so we're actually going to go back to another song now. We're going to pop back and talk some more rubbish, so we'll see you very, very soon.
Between her eyes and lines, it's better.
sure reality has to be seen in a new way, but it's that is not so much the interesting part of it. The interesting side of it is, where is truth in all this?
Doxa, Vancouver's Documentary Film Festival, runs this year April 30th to May 10th. The 14th annual Doxa features 89 films, 6 world premieres, and 23 Canadian premieres. Whether it's the infamous musical Provocateurs, The Residents, or Master Pranksters, The Yes Men, Doxa is packed to the brim with radicals, iconoclasts, weirdos, mavericks, and James Franco. For more information, go online to www.doxafestival.ca.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What does Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show. What's in ya?
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
And cult.
Yeah, you really should listen to Nawa. He's a madman and he's a lot of fun, so check him out. So I'm back in the studio. We're here with Alex Baran. We've got Simon T. Armstrong, Esquire. And just to let you guys know, he is the award-winning Simon. PE12 award, I believe. And the that was at the Lambrick Park High School.
Very competitive field.
Yeah, I was blown away when I read that. And also, apparently, he's also an impotent garden gnome. So you learn something new about people every day.
Humanoid creature.
Actually, I got a call from my high school when I won an award, and
are
they
you
didn't.
Leaning
they
into
didn't.
The mic like you have something important to say.
They can't hear us. Sorry, this is called mic technique.
Okay, go on.
Sorry, your nose is so big you can't get in close enough.
For the viewers at home, or the listeners at home that can't see it, it's massive.
This story is stupid. Let's move on.
So you were going to tell me about someone I believe you call Juan the Psychic. Tell us about Juan.
We're going to be talking to a true medium soon. If you've gone to Celebrities Nightclub, you may have seen his smiling face next door.
Because that's where I expect to see the mediums, at Celebrities Nightclub.
It's just where he happens to be. He operates right above, and we're going to have him in and ask him all sorts of burning questions about our future. So
they've got an STI, have you?
Yeah.
Nah, that's a shame. That's a shame, lad.
We've also got an investigation into a cult later this year, where we're going to be going. There is a cult operating in Vancouver called Liberty and Balance. You can look it up. It's very bizarre, and it's just starting to take off, but it hasn't got into the news yet. So we're actually going to pretend to be a member of the cult and go in and bring in some tape recorders and probably get killed.
Wow, so proper investigative journalism.
We means me, not Alex.
Yeah.
We means me.
Are you suggesting you look a bit more culty than him? Is that why we're picking you?
I'm just
lazy, and I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
But Simon's expendable.
Yeah. I feel like I'm too stupid to get indoctrinated, so.
So what's this cult all about? You know, they usually got some sort of central focus idea. Like, what's this lot about?
It's self-help, right?
That's the thing. There's so much smoke and mirrors, I honestly don't even know what it's about.
They take a page out of Scientology where it's like you have to pay to find out what it
exactly,
is.
Exactly, right? You pay and pay and pay. My girlfriend's friend is like $10,000 in, completely broke, on disability, taking Valium or, you know, one of those things. And she still will be like, I'm having the time of my life.
So what drew her in? Like, what the heck is it that could possibly make a person spend 10 grand on that?
They're just very effective at, I mean, why do people do Scientology, right? Why do you use that voice when you talk? These are weird questions that we have no answers to.
Shut up already. It's just like you don't feel good sometimes, right? And then the inevitable answer is yes. And then people are willing to
You have insecurities. I have insecurities. You know, if you can capitalize on those. And fill a room with people that are all going, just say yes, come to this, we'll accept you. You know, if there was somebody that told me, we don't care about your receding hairline, it's okay. It doesn't matter that everyone in the stand-up community thinks you're a prick. We don't care about all that. Have a donut. Yeah. I give them all my money.
That's true.
I still might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Thoughts? Comments? Witty little riffs?
All right, if you were going to start your own cult, what would it be like?
I don't care as long as I get...
I think it would involve...
Oh, speak for me. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it would involve lots of moisturizer being rubbed into your back and coconut oil.
I have very dry skin. That's actually... That's pretty true.
Mm-hmm.
An ideal day for me, Simons, is...
No, well, there's only one Simon here, stupid.
Eight moisturizer sessions. That really threw me off.
I know.
Coconut oil, olive oil, just things being rubbed into my back continuously. That's heaven for me. I can't reach the part of my back, this is my curse, that is full on dry. And I'm talking desert dry. Oh, it's horrendous.
Yeah.
It's right at the back of my shoulder blade. So I have to decide between like dislocated arm or dry back. It's an ongoing struggle.
Are you rubbing like, what kind of moisturizer are you putting in there?
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil.
Oils of various kinds.
Cannabis oil.
So what about you, Simon? What's your cult? Is it involving stilts? Just wondering.
Damn it. I was going to say that. A couple of hack frauds.
Oh, I can't wait to hear him struggle to think of a new riff.
I can't. I got nothing. It would be stilts. It would be pointed red caps and lots and AstroTurf.
Shine box.
Shut up. You own OP. Oh, God. I messed that up.
What was that?
I could see a rather tragic ending, though, when you guys combine your cults and you've got the stilts and oils everywhere and things could go very horribly wrong, I think, for you.
I'd like to take a stilt and just beat you in.
I'd like to stick one up your nostril, your gigantic gaping nostril.
Yeah. One of my nostrils is bigger than the other. Richard, can you see that?
Zach, is that from cocaine?
No, that's from my parents.
That's why I talk like this. Just like that. It was dark, dark days.
I have to spend like 6 hours with this weird cult. I mean, I'm still.
You're gonna get indoctrinated.
Like, I have to, at this point. I have to do it because we've actually announced it.
You know how I told. That's why I did this. Yeah. You know how I said that it was from 6 at night to 12 the next day, the first 2 days. I thought that 12 a.m. meant like next day 12.
No,
but in fact it's at night.
Do you guys think that talking about it before you do it may jeopardize the operation at all?
If Liberty and I mean we've already signed up for it. You can't ban somebody from a cult from talking about it on. Well, like, I guess
I just think that like if Louis Theroux was like, I'm coming for a visit and I'm gonna expose you.
We're not qualified to do investigations.
We've already established that we're fools. Okay.
Yeah. that's true. I don't really know what to say to that. I hope they're not listening.
Well, they're not listening.
Yeah.
Really?
No, it's probably quite true, lads. I wouldn't worry too much about that one. Don't lose too much sleep. All right, so we're going to play one more track. We're going to talk a tiny little bit more, and then we're basically done because this show is only half an hour long for the after show. But anyway, here is a bit of Metronomy.
Said perhaps to try again. listening in. And someone's left a car engine running. Every night's the mark of a new day. And every day's the mark of something new. Promise that you'll follow me. I couldn't stand to be alone. Attic away, wait for the after show. I've got four more, so why are you bawling for? I've got a whole bag to burn. And I could have never swam better, but you could have turned a blind eye. But I've gone over the road, and I'm gonna go this time. So hold on tight to everything you love. Honestly, it's all I care about. Hold on tight to everything you love. Honestly, it's all I'm thinking of. Hold on tight to everything you care about. Hopelessly, it's all I dream about. Hold on tight, cause this might be the last time we dance.
MRG Concerts presents East India Youth with Guests at the Fox Cabaret, Wednesday, May 6th. From England, English electronic musician tours in support of his upcoming album, Culture of Volume. Doors open at 8 p.m. Tickets available at northerntickets.com, Red Cat Records, and Zulu Records.
Yeah, definitely recommend checking out that show, East India Youth. That's going to be a classic. Cracking lad there out of England. So definitely check him out. That's Wednesday, Fox Cabaret Lounge down on Main Street. It's going to be a cracking show, and I'll actually be there, so we should probably come say hello if you see me. All right, so that was our show, pretty much. Coming up next is the Synaptic Sandwich Show, as always. It's a cracking show. Play some EDM, you know, it's what you need on a Saturday night. We've had a great show. We've had Alex Baran. We've had Simon T. Armstrong Esquire on tonight. Have you guys had a good time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And just remind us again, how can we see your fantastic podcast? How do we get hold of you?
You can go on iTunes and search Vancouver Right, Vancouver, Right, ? We release new episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And please send us an email, 604podcast@gmail.com.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you so much for listening today. We will be back next week with a brand new show. The lovely Simon Well will probably be back again if he's gone over whatever torment he's had this week. I was Richard Blackmore. You've been listening to White Noise. Have a bloody, bloody good week. I'm gonna
days are numbered, all my days. Oh, what a days I'm under, oh, what a days.
Yeah, yeah, days are confused, paying my dues, raising the blues to the sky, toast to the live, the dead move to the side. Like my days been numbered since I've been awake from the slumber. They basically racing by like I'm living the days of thunder. We looking towards the future. You find us trying to balance the predictions of Nostradamus with the promise of Mayan calendars. Navigating through life in the past will try to challenge us. Stay above the water, of course, is the highest caliber. Light to remember like Shalimar, divine as divinity school. We falling off like an infinity pool.